It's Wednesday, September 30th, and you're tuned in to the Chanby Podcast. I am Vince.
Oh, I'm Anthony.
No, you're not.
I'm very, very happy that you could come and listen to us today.
What are you going on about?
Just remember that this is the podcast where we talk about all the coolest things in the world.
What?
Like listeners like you.
Gross.
Right? I want to boost up your confidence on this.
Ew.
Very casual Wednesday.
Ew. That's a ew.
It's a gross, that's dog.
Ew. You know what that is?
Negativity only.
That's Chris Tucker when he's asking Jackie, what is this? It's ew.
It's ew. Ew.
It's a box of grease.
I got camel's hump.
Camel's hump. Very good.
Yeah, cool. We're here. Guess what? We got things to talk about this week.
Dude. Mm. How come, again, it's... We say this year after year, or maybe I just say it.
What?
But
yes.
Why do they ignore the summer? Like, the summer is when everybody is chilling and is spending money. Release your games in the summer.
I think people are spending money on not video games.
I'm spending money on video games because I'm spending money on not outside.
Yeah, I'm spending money outside.
That's dumb.
I'm doing things.
You. That's a you.
I'm a going to places.
That's a you.
I'm having fun. You know, making those summer memories.
Yeah, I made summer memories playing Need for Speed Heat.
What's that? I was in the heat. Oh. The sunshine. I was sun-kissed. Is that what the ladies say?
I don't...
What's the other one? No, it's... I don't know, it starts with a W or something.
You've been hanging around those white people.
Got news for you.
I am white people.
I am white people.
Oh no!
Yeah, okay, cool. Sun-kissed memories are over. The
hail is here.
No.
Because it was hailing today.
The colors of the wind are rolling on in because it's
like
the autumn storm.
Listen, we don't have four seasons anymore, okay?
What are you talking about? I was out this weekend. I saw the fall season.
I saw a red tree. That was it.
You saw a red tree?
Yeah,
a single I saw red tree. Multiple.
I just don't believe
I saw red, green, yellow, orange, brun.
All right, I just need to start. I need to start going on hikes, I guess.
You better hurry up.
Because it's over tomorrow.
Because, like, you got, like, a 3-week window, and then it's done. Like, it's absolutely gone.
Okay.
You already missed the first week. So.
I did. It's
so
true.
There you go.
I gotta go bust out the camera.
Yeah, you do. You should do it. It's fun. It's great. Go find a cliff.
Whoa.
To take a beautiful picture.
Damn, dude.
I didn't say jump off it.
But I implied it.
I said find it.
I said find it and do what you will.
You could be at the bottom of it if you want.
Guess wow, what? At the bottom?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. You know. After you jump off of it.
Oh
anyways.
My god. There it is.
Anyways. I heard somebody wrote in an email today.
They did.
So I'll read it for you.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think it was from Brian M.
It is from Brian M.
From the Mac?
Mac Attack, baby.
All right, it's a Mac Attack. Hell, oh, fell, oh, nerds.
Sup?
Please rank your top three fast food burger chains and name your worst chain. To me, Five Guys is definitely the top, but A&W will always have its special place. Also, Shake Shack is just overpriced garbage, so no need to try it if you guys haven't had it before. Thank you, and continue to stay safe. First things first, Brian is clearly American.
Yeah, we don't have Shake Shack, homie.
And our list will not continue or contain any American chains.
You want to just do strictly Canadian chains?
I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can do America because we don't live in the American scene. We don't have a date. Like we don't have access to it. So anytime we have it, like we have a bit of a bias. Either it's like,
but
ooh.
what is it? Like we can't say like White Castle.
No.
Because White Castle is straight. But can we say McDonald's?
Yes.
Okay.
It's what it's what's available to us.
Oh, if
locally.
If it's an American exclusive.
Yes.
Then it's a no go.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I just read this question, so I don't know.
I'm gonna put. At three.
Oh, we're going at three. Okay.
I'm starting at three. Number three for me has to be Mickey D's. It has to be Mickey D's. It's not the best.
Mm.
It's not the worst, but it's reliable.
Ah.
It is consistent. And if I want to get a McDouble with Mac sauce because it's significantly cheaper than getting a Big Mac, they will let me do that. And really, like, it's kind of on there specifically for Mac sauce.
Okay.
Like, if I... Like, there are, like, the bougie chains that we have, like a Burger Priest or something over here, but I don't know if that counts.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that counts as fast food.
I don't know. I don't know if I would count that as fast.
Yeah, because it takes a little bit.
Because that's like a gourmet burger.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if I would classify that as...
It's over $10.
Like, you can't drive through a Burger Priest.
No, you cannot. It's true. We have Five Guys, but you also can't drive through a Five Guys.
That's true, but Five Guys is all about being fast.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I think we'll play this one by ear, but you're right. Like, things like Burger Priest in the works, I don't know if I could count them.
Five Guys burgers. I just don't have them enough. I think that's the thing. I want to put Five Guys on the list. Like, Five Guys might be number four.
Yeah.
I just don't have Five Guys enough. Like, I maybe have it, like, once a year.
Okay. Okay.
But when I'm in a fix, it's never like Five Guys. It's always like, oh, I remember those Cajun fries are good. Let's go to McDonald's.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You have a three?
So I think my three is Five Guys.
Okay.
I think my three is Five Guys. Because goddamn the fries.
It's good.
And it's just like a burger.
But it's not a burger. Yeah, I guess you gotta encompass the whole thing. Yeah. But a McDonald's fry.
Well, that's why McDonald's is number three. But anyways, Five Guys is my number three because, when I think about, oh, man, what's a burger chain that's like, just hit me with that quickness. Hit me with that.
Sorry, hold up.
What?
Are you in one a days?
Yeah.
How old are you? They're gummies. I can't even.
They're gummies, man. They're gummies.
Are you in one a days?
They're sick.
How old are you?
I'm 32. I'm watching my health.
Oh my god. Terrible.
Well, you gotta. Terrible. You gotta start while you can, right?
So old.
I'm not gonna wait till I'm 50.
Yeah, you should. No. All right?
No.
Wait till the problem arises and then try and fix it.
Oh, is that how it works?
Don't prevent the problem. Come on. Everyone knows this.
Anyways, yeah. It's because I'm having all these fucking Five Guys. I gotta have my vitamin supplements. Yeah, I think it's Five Guys. I don't know, like, if fast food burger chains, like, because to be honest, I don't even know if I know what my number one is.
My number one, like,
we'll get there, but yeah. Like, is it Five Guys? No, it's Harvey's.
Your number one?
No, my third is Harvey's.
Harvey's?
And I'll tell you why. Because whenever I want just like a barbecued burger,
yeah,
that's where you go.
Like an open flame.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want. Yeah.
Like when it comes, like, their fries, not good.
Also pickles on the side.
Yes. Like, and but if you just want, like, you want that barbecue feast in the middle of the winter,
yeah,
you go to Harvey's.
Yeah, you don't get just fries, dude. You get frings. All right?
I get rings.
No, you just get rings.
I just get rings. Okay. That's how much I detest the Harvey's fries.
I don't think Harvey's fries are that bad.
Okay, they're not bad, but, like, I got rings. And I'm going to go with the rings. But then it's not that Harvey's fries are bad. It's just there's definitely better
Harvey's
fries.
There's definitely better fries.
Yes.
And I got to say, like, Harvey's fries may be the second worst.
Of all the fast food
of
fries.
Of all the fast food fries. Yes. The second worst.
Yes. That's why they got onion rings.
True. But their burger is, like,
it's so good.
I'm so conflicted on Harvey's because I think Harvey's is my number two.
Okay.
I was thinking it was maybe my number one.
Yeah.
Because the burger was so good. And then you just reminded me, like, bro.
The fries suck.
The fries aren't great.
Yeah.
But a number two is Harvey's. A Harvey's burger is insane. If you Americans have not had a Harvey's burger, if we ever decide to let you back in our country, like, Harvey's is where to go. It's that open flame burger. You customize the burger in any which way you want. Put those hot peppers on it. Put those pickles on. If you don't want pickles on it, put pickles on the side.
Yeah.
Like, just do whatever you need to do. Yeah. Like, it's too good.
Yeah.
It's too good.
Yeah. Okay. That's my Harvey's. At number three, that's your number two?
That's my number two.
And your number three, so you said, was
McDonald's.
McDonald's. Okay. My number two is A&W. Ooh. NW has a lot of the things I also like about, like, Harvey's, only there's something about the A&W burger that is just, I feel bad when I eat it.
What?
Like,
will you eat like a Papa Burger or something?
Like, I feel bad, like a good bad. Like, oh, this is terrible for me.
Oh, but it's, what are you talking about? It's all naturally raised, no hormones. Like,
yeah, but there's something about it where I'm just like, nah, man, this one makes me feel like I've okay. made like a poor, like, this is a.
See, that's Five Guys for me. That's why Five Guys is not on my list. Because when I eat Five Guys, I feel like shit. Like, I just have a layer of grease over my face. Like, they threw the fries at my face and then in the bag.
You know, that's how I feel about the, like, but that's, like, that's the charm of A&W.
Okay.
And A&W also has that, like, old school flair to it.
Yeah.
Like, the experience.
The 50s drive-thru.
Yeah, and I got a thing for that, right?
You kind of expect someone to rollerblade up to your, or roller skate up to your car.
Well, here's the thing. I wish we had Sonics, but we don't.
We don't.
But
that's we have that diner, Wimpy's Diner, for that.
I actually went there the other week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
It's not great.
It's all right.
It's basically, I'm going to go there because I'm hammered and it's open 24 hours.
Hell yeah.
I need to sober up with some bacon.
And right beside it is the ice cream place.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, my number two is A&W. They got sweet potato fries. One of the few fast food places with sweet potato fries, which I love. I love their matzo burger. I like all their burgers, actually.
Teen Burger, Papa Burger.
And they got, like, some wicked deals sometimes. They're like,
dude,
they're just like, yo, it's $2. Come get it.
And the thing I got to say about A&W, too, is, like, the left field play, which is their chicken is dope.
Oh, but they do have good chicken.
Like, their chicken burger is fucking awesome. Yeah. And if you want just the snack wrap, like, ooh, baby.
I will say I have had the best chicken burger this week.
Where?
Popeyes.
Ooh, but is Popeyes a burger place?
No. It's not.
Disqualified. Don't even talk about it.
I mean, they do sell burgers and fries, but they are not a burger joint. Okay. I wouldn't go, but like...
That's like if you said like Dairy Queen on this list.
No.
I'd be like, what are you doing?
No, no. But yeah, no, Popeyes, like that, like just a side note, that chicken burger?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I've had it 4 times in the past week.
Oh my God. No wonder you're taking one a days. Jesus.
Yeah, no, me and my, like, we got it. Like, me and my girlfriend got it. We ate it. And then, like, we chilled for a bit. And we're like, you want to go back?
You want to get another burger?
Yeah.
This is like that fucking Boondocks episodes of the itis where people couldn't stop eating the
holy
fried
shit.
Chicken.
That, like, is one of those situations where, like, last year I saw it. I wanted it. But, like, it's an America only, man. It can't be that great, like,
is it better than Chick-fil-A?
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
Like,
okay.
I couldn't believe it. And Chick-fil-A is so, what do you call it? It's very rare here.
Yeah, like there's one in Toronto.
Yeah, there's two, I think.
Is there two now?
There's the one on, is it Dundas? No, Yonge. And then there's one in Yorkdale.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the food court. But
of course Yorkdale has it.
Of course. Of course they have it. The rich mall. Of course the rich mall has it.
The bougie mall.
But Popeyes is everywhere, and this chicken burger is wild.
Awesome.
So good.
All right.
I want one now.
All right. You want to go get one?
We can't. You want to pause it? They close at 10.
Dude, we just paused the podcast.
I'm like full from dinner already.
We got one a days. You're good.
That doesn't make me hungry.
Doesn't it make you like poop or something?
No, it's just vitamins.
So we should go buy some laxative too.
Why?
To clear up some room.
It doesn't work that way.
Alright.
Anyways, yeah, no, that chicken burger is amazing. I can't stop thinking about it. Anyway, but A&W is my number two for reasons. And also, I love root beer. I love their root beer specifically.
Okay.
So you can't hate that. And they have a good breakfast option as well.
A&W is my number one.
A&W number one.
Yeah. I think I've never had a bad experience at A&W. I will say I eat at it less than, say, McDonald's. But it's such quality. Like, I've not at one location have I ever had a bad experience. And this doesn't extend to just food, but this also extends to ordering. I have never been to an A&W that fucked up my order.
Huh.
I've never gotten, like a downsized fry. I've never missed a drink. They've never fucked up my order, period. Like, I don't know what it is about how A&Ws are run, but A&W has been good both in food and in service.
Interesting.
My whole life. And that fucking root beer, dog.
Mm.
So good.
Yeah.
If you eat it and you get in the glass, you get the frosted mug.
Yeah.
You try to steal it and they catch you and it's just a thing.
They can't do that anymore, right?
What, the frosted mug?
Yeah.
I don't think so because of COVID.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can go into most of them.
You can go in. You just can't sit down.
Yeah.
Here I have to expect you to say Arby's as number one.
No, Arby's isn't it's not a burger.
Because you're like my sister and I know that's her number
one. Oh, Arby's is great, but it's not number one.
They got burgers there.
Do they? It's a roast beef place, all right? That's what Arby's is. Right, if you want a fry tier list, like the curly fries might be in the top three. I'm not sure.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But like their burger, like you go there for the beef and cheese melt, and that's it. If you're going there for anything other than the beef and cheese melt, you're a monster.
What are you talking about? You got some other fun stuff.
What, some of the double beef and cheese melt?
Hell yeah. Triple.
If you're getting anything other than roast beef and cheese between two pieces of bread. You're a fucking animal. All right.
Yeah.
But A&W is definitely my number one.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So I think we definitely all have all the same choices, just in different orders, because my number one's McDonald's.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you why. Okay.
Mobile ordering.
Oh, yes. They bring it to me.
I have to go in.
Yeah. That's the closest thing to the rollerblades.
Come to me.
Yeah. So when I think about fast food, I'm always like, what's the best? What do I really want? What's good? What's tasty? Like, what do I want? And yeah, there's things like A&W. Yeah, there's Five Guys. And we can go to, like, when you're feeling, like, risky, you go to Wendy's.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you make all those
when
choices.
When you want the Baconator and you want to feel like shit.
Yeah. When you want to go sideways, you call Taco Bell. Like, you just, you have all those motions. But it's like walking down the street and you see all these pretty ladies.
Yeah.
But you know, it's always the girl next door. It's the one you spend the time with most.
Most.
It's the one that's there for you at midnight when you're all alone in your car. She's there for you, man.
I guess.
She's there.
You
pull up to her window and she'll give you those amazing fries. Fries number one.
You're not wrong, but also like...
And also,
I feel that she's a little bit needy.
But listen, she's also the only place where I would happily eat breakfast and lunch and dinner.
You would die.
I know, but I'm saying, like, their whole menu is so well-rounded. I don't think, like, I've never been to it, like, at any time of day and been like, oh, this place sucks because it's still morning.
It's hard to beat an Egg McMuffin for breakfast.
It's hard, yeah, and they got, their menu, like, even though when you think about it and you feel like, oh, it's a very extensive menu, the truth is it's not. Like, it's very...
It's just like variations on the same shit.
Yeah, and like so they all kind of
unless you get to
have...
like McCafe.
Yeah, let's not talk about
let's not talk about McCafe.
But yeah, no, like McDonald's is my number one. Like it's the one I have the most. It's the one when I'm in doubt. She calls me and I'm like, all right, cool, let's go.
Yeah, it's just the food there is convenient, but it's just so bland across the board. That I couldn't put it at the top.
I don't know if I describe it as bland, only because I've had it so much. I don't know anymore. Like if I could go back and be like McDonald's for the first time, would I think it's bad? Would I think it's good?
I think the thing that I love the most is obviously the fries.
Like, I think that's everybody.
Like McDonald's fries are just crack cocaine and potato.
Yeah, you have to be some sort of monster if you're like, no, McDonald's doesn't have good fries.
Yes, yeah. McDonald's fries, disgusting.
Yeah, like who are you?
Yeah, who are you? An alien? Go home. But like when I think of their burgers, like I mentioned before with the McDouble, I stopped getting Big Macs because I could just get Big Mac sauce on my McDouble. And really the most flavorful part of any McDonald's burger is like a Mac sauce. Like if I get a quarter pounder, I'm like, this is just fucking onions. If I get the Big and Tasty or whatever, I'm like, this is just tomato. There's something about their bread and their patty that's just so like it's inoffensive in the best way. Like I feel like the way they've developed that burger is that it appeals to everybody in terms of flavor, thus making it so generic that I'm just like it exists. It is food-esque.
I think I'll give you that for most of the burgers. I don't know if I could say that about the Big Mac though.
It's just a quarter pounder with the extra bread. Or it's not a quarter pounder. It's just a McDouble with extra bread in the middle.
But it's different bread.
Aren't the top and bottom patties the same?
From the McDouble?
Yeah.
No.
Are they not?
The McDouble uses like...
Oh, the seeded. Yeah, the seed. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a different bread. Like the whole texture of the Big Mac, I would say, is very, very calculated. Like in terms of what it is. Whereas the McDouble is kind of just like, here's a cheeseburger. We threw another patty in. You can... And when you put the Mac sauce on it, yeah, it gets close. It gets like 95% there.
Or if you want to get there, you can go like a Mac.
Yeah.
And then you get the lettuce and you got whatever.
Yeah, like you get 95% there, but I don't, for me at least, I don't think it quite completes the package.
There is definitely something about a Big Mac, but Big Mac meals have become so expensive now that I'm just like, fucking $11 for a Big Mac meal.
Who's going to McDonald's without coupons? Who's going without the offers?
Me, because I don't get coupons.
Well, whose fault is that?
I don't want to make an account on the phone.
Why?
I don't want to give McDonald's my shit.
Then get rid of your phone.
No.
You give your dad to Google all day, every day.
I don't
want
to get McDonald's specifically.
Oh, my God. I hate that argument. It's so stupid. Don't make live in a digitized world.
Can't do it.
Guess what? You walk into the mall, they got your data.
Dude, what are you talking about? I turn all that shit off. Turn Wi-Fi off. I don't have location on.
You have Wi-Fi off when you walk in the mall?
Most of the time
I don't mean, like, you don't connect. I mean,
well, the thing is, most of the time I have Wi-Fi off on my phone because my data plan is like 15 gigs.
Okay.
And I never use it. So it's
okay. All right.
That's just happenstance. If I get a worse phone, if I get a worse phone plan, then probably I'd turn Wi-Fi on.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Anyways, yeah, let's repeat our rankings again.
My third at the bottom is McDonald's, then second is Harvey's, and then first is A&W.
So mine's just like one adjusted.
Yeah.
Mine is Harvey's, A&W, McDonald's.
Yeah, just flip it.
Yeah. So there
but
you go.
But what's your worst?
Oh, yeah, he did say, what's the worst one?
What's the worst one? That's easy. I got that in a bag.
What is it?
It's fucking Burger King. Burger King is absolute garbage. I don't know what the fuck people are talking about when they're like, yo, Whoppers are super good. No, it's fucking trash wrapped in trash.
I'm trying to think.
Burger King fries are fucking disgusting.
Okay, they are. The Burger King fries are the worst, yes.
Anything else, like, other than a burger combo that you get there is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like their Coke tastes worse.
Because they use Pepsi.
Or whatever. Their Pepsi tastes worse. Then, like, if I were to go to, like, get a Pepsi at another place, who else has Pepsi? Doesn't Harvey's have Pepsi?
Yes.
Yeah, Harvey, like, for some reason, the Pepsi at Harvey's tastes better than the Pepsi at Burger King. I don't know what it is, but there's something about the whole package of Burger King that is absolute garbage. And the audacity they have to call themselves the king of burgers is fucking insane.
Is Burger King the worst, though?
I think, I don't know. I've never liked anything a Burger King has had to offer me, ever.
Okay. I'm trying to think, because, like, I know Burger King is not my favorite either.
It's bad.
But is it the worst? And I'm just trying to go through my head and think about, what do I like less than Burger King? Like,
it has to be Canadian exclusive. You can't be, like, White Castle.
Yeah.
Because I also kind of think White Castle is bad.
Oh, you think it's bad?
I don't think it's that good.
You know what I like? In-N-Out.
I've never had In-N-Out.
Oh, you never did it?
No.
Okay, well, that sucks, man.
That sucks, bro. Sorry about your life.
Yeah, I don't... Burger King? Is it Burger King? Does it gotta be the Burger King?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
I just don't know.
It's not good. You can't even think of anything worse than Burger King.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I guess it's Burger King.
Like, what else could it be?
Nothing. Yeah, okay, I guess it is Burger King. But I do like a Whopper.
What are you gonna pick, Wendy's?
No, because the...
Cece's Pizza?
Because I like Wendy's because they got baked potatoes.
Taco Bell? It's not a burger place.
I mean, yeah, Taco Bell is technically the worst of the fast food.
It gives you the runs, baby.
Like, Taco Bell is straight up awful.
Yeah.
But...
Nah, actually, okay, it's not fast food. It doesn't count.
What?
I was going to say Eastside Mario's.
That's not fast food,
but it is.
That's Italy's pride.
I am fast out the door when someone mentions Eastside Mario's because of garbage.
Dude, that's like the pride of Italy.
Okay. What about pizza would be a good one. Like fast food pizza rankings.
Sure, but like okay.
Nah, okay. I don't know. I'm saying it's Burger King. Burger King's the worst.
Okay, I guess it's Burger King, but that's because I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I guess it is Burger King. It's garbage. Like, I don't despise it the way you despise it.
Oh, it's terrible.
And then most people despise it, but like...
But the thing is, it's like, people keep buying stuff. Like, why is it so popular?
Yo, the king of burgers.
He's bad. The only thing Burger King ever did well were those 360 games, where it was like Sneak King. And you played as the the Burger King guy, and you were in a stealth game.
Burger King.
Oh god. Okay. All right. Thank you.
So bad.
Thank you for writing in. Now I want to go to Shake Shack.
But it's overpriced. You just told him. He just told you.
That's why it's good.
Oh wait.
Oh.
Teriyaki Express might be worse than Taco Bell.
Is it?
I don't know. Like every time I go to Teriyaki Express, it's just bland ass rice.
Yeah. Okay, but you know what's good?
What?
Chipotle.
Oof, baby. Let's go to Chipotle. Where is it? Saga? Let's go.
Let's get out of here.
All right, thank you for writing in, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Chu writes in with another recommendation. Oh, not recommendation, but a
question?
Question to chew on. That's the
That's,
one.
What the fuck? How did you get recommendation mixed up with question?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Are you taking those one of these? Are you sure?
They don't make me smarter.
Are you sure?
Paul Chu says, Studio Ghibli?
Yes.
Or Studio Trigger? For the purposes of this question, let's say you guys do not have to come up with a single TNAB answer, but you do each need to explain why you picked the one you picked. You can each determine what it is that makes the one better than the other. Monetary success, critical success, mainstream appeal, mechs, whatever. And it could either be subjective or objective. I think the fun and this question will be in how you each justify your choice.
This is like, yo, bro, what do you want? You want that filet mignon,
or do you want that? You want that? You want that?
Do you want that? Here, listen, we got the 8-ounce filet mignon wrapped in specialty bacon raised from the cows of Hokkaido.
Oh yeah,
right. And we got a side of broccoli and carrots drizzled. Ooh. with the leftover fat.
Ooh. Ooh.
Right.
Ooh, yeah.
But also we got Five Guys burgers and fries, baby. Chuck that shit in a box. Let's go.
I was gonna go, oh yeah, you can have that. Or I can give you the Samsung spin cycle sloppy toppy.
This is like high-end food compared to a sloppy Joe. Like, what is this question? School, yo, do you want to go to like a $500 a plate dinner, or do you want to go to the school cafeteria from your high school? And like, yo, each of them are fun in their own different way, but oh, I this is a hard one because like,
yeah.
My personal enjoyment,
it's easy for me.
In terms of wild, you're gonna pick Trigger, right? But I feel like consistently I would have to pick Ghibli.
I know.
Right, like my reasoning for Ghibli is not like, I want to say the highs for Trigger are super high,
yeah.
But the lows for Trigger are pretty low,
right?
Whereas with Ghibli, it is kind of consistent across the board. There's maybe like one or two bad movies in their catalog, and that's the one that weren't even made by Miyazaki. It was made by his son, right? And then even Miyazaki was like, my son should not make movies anymore.
Wow.
But the thing with Ghibli is that it's timeless. Like, there are people who grew up with Totoro, and they're
like Disney.
It's like it's the Japanese Disney, just kind of less scummy.
Yeah.
And a lot of their subject material is very, very creative. It doesn't follow the Disney formula of here's a princess.
Yeah.
Right? They can go from here's a forest monster that helps kids move into their own home and learn about life and loss and whatever.
Right.
To here is this kid who learns about the spirit world and like death and destruction, to here's just like a fucking pseudo documentary about the guy who made all the planes that crashed into world. like Pearl Harbor, right? They just have so it, Ghibli Studio has just this amazing range that they can do and be consistent in being good. Whereas Studio Trigger is consistently fucking crazy. And they're great at being crazy. But certain instances, like, say, Kizaniver, which I like, but it's definitely not super memorable, like, say, something like Kill la Kill. And the reason Kill la Kill is memorable is not because it's this masterclass in storytelling. It's because it's this fucking assault on your eyeballs. And it's great for that. It's not a knock against it. It's just a different thing. That's my reasoning.
Wow. You put some thought into that.
No, I literally just...
you put some thought into that
I off the domed it.
that's such a Studio Ghibli answer.
It is a Studio Ghibli answer.
I'll give you the Studio Trigger answer, okay? Okay?
Go.
Because I'm picking Trigger.
Yeah, of course you are.
And I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
Because every time I watch a Studio Ghibli film, it always has to mean something. You always have to think about it. And sometimes, I just don't wanna.
I just want a hamburger.
Exactly! God damn! Not everything needs to have meaning. Just give me the good stuff. And that's it.
Just cut the fat, give me the boobs.
Exactly.
Alright.
Why do you think porn is the most successful industry?
And even then, you know, people, you know, like when you're on Pornhub and like it's like where people are viewing the video? It's always like, oh, where is it the most? Okay, that's where like the cum shot is. Yeah. That's where like the deep throat blowjob is. Right? Like,
yeah. And you know what? These people aren't even watching on their 4K panels. They're watching on their smartphones.
Phone.
Yeah. Because
they need it.
Yeah. Because you just want that action.
Sometimes you need that action.
You do.
This is where it's like you pick a waifu or I'm like, no, I understand.
Yeah, I get it.
Like I get it. There's no, I'm not going to push back here.
I don't think there's a wrong answer here.
And I think if we had to pick a podcast studio to back, it's Trigger, right?
A podcast studio?
No, like I'm saying, like for the podcast.
Oh yeah.
The
yeah,
studio
yeah.
that would represent this podcast is Trigger.
Yes.
Because it's just max tomfoolery.
Yes, absolutely. Right? yeah, absolutely.
But other than that, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's. I mean, like, Paul. I mean, I'm sure you're, and to the rest of the listener base, I'm sure our answers are not very surprising.
No, it's not. Maybe mine is just because. Some of my favorite media is just the most insane.
You mean like JoJo?
Like JoJo or Asura's Wrath or Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
What
the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, what a poser.
Let me tell you about Mr. Mosquito.
What a poser.
All right, you play as a mosquito.
Thanks for writing in, Paul. Picks of the week, guess what?
What's up?
Tokyo Game Show happened.
It did.
I heard they talked about some games at the show in Tokyo.
They did. They talked about a lot of video games.
Okay, hit me with it.
I only paid attention to three of them.
Okay, even better.
One is Resident Evil Village.
Village.
They had like what's it called? Fucking developer commentary, pretty much.
Is that what it's called?
And they talked about like how they're designing the world and why they're bringing back Ethan and stuff like that from 7. And it's pretty interesting. And the way this game is going, it does seem more open world focused, where Resident Evil games generally are go through this stuff in order, right? 2 is different.
Yep.
Where you're going through the mansion and unlocking different areas and stuff like that. That's more of a Metroid game. But this one kind of seems more in that vein than it does, say, like 4 and up, where it's just like run through this linear area where sometimes it'll branch off and it's like, oh, I can go explore this house over here. But really, there's one exit at the end. Right. And just the way they're developing it, they want you to explore. They want you to be able to set up encounters that will be advantageous to you. And it's adding like an extra layer of open world depth to the survival horror game.
Okay.
They did a really big emphasis on making the village beautifully terrifying, which is like, it's amazing to look at and it's a great and beautiful design, but the shit that's inside it is going to scare the pants off you.
Okay.
And I don't know. It looks really, really cool. It's like seeing the gameplay of this makes me want to go back and play 7.
Did you play 7?
No.
Oh, okay.
I played the demo for 7.
I don't remember you saying if you played
7.
No, I want to play 7 for the first time.
Okay, yeah.
Other than that...
Hold on, let's go back and forth, because I got one. Okay, you go. Konami has announced a new game.
I swear to God, if this is a fucking pachinko game, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
No!
Because I know Konami... Wait, was it Konami? Yeah, they're just into gambling now. They don't make games anymore.
Is it Konami? Wait, maybe it's not Konami.
Konami just does pachinko now. They're like, hey man, we remade all the cutscenes for Metal Gear Solid 3 and threw it in a fucking pachinko game.
Let me... Sorry, it wasn't Konami. My bad.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
But I swear to God. It starts with a K. It starts with a K.
If you're going to talk to me about pachinko... It's
Koei Tecmo.
Okay.
Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires was announced. Baby, let's go. 2021 next-gen consoles... Yo, you heard of Lu Bu?
Yes.
Sanction.
You were Cao Cao. You have Zook Gate Liang.
Yo, buddy, let's go. Let's go.
Give me my Dao Chan, all right? I can't believe there hasn't been Dynasty Warriors 10.
I know. It's just like, what's the next subtitle? What's the next subtitle?
How are they just constantly doing Dynasty Warriors 9 over and over?
It's Empires. So,
when did Dynasty Warriors 9 originally come out?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't know Dynasty Warriors 9.
It's February
8th, 2018. What?
I guess it's relatively new.
Okay. Well, it's coming.
It's 2021 Dynasty Warriors 9. God damn it. Yo, you can play as all your favorites. Cao Cao. Cao Pai. Cao Ren. Cao Zhu.
Well,
all the Saos.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Cao brothers, they're all there.
Yeah, I heard so. Yeah, get excited to play as your favorite Chinese hero.
Dude, I'm just going to fucking pick Lu Bu, and I'm going to run over bitches.
But you got to unlock the Bu.
True.
You always got to start as some punk first.
Yeah, you got to do that. You got to do the Yellow Turban Rebellion. It's all like, damn, son, these Yellow Turbans are rebelling. I don't know what to fucking do. Oh, my God. Let's just murder.
Everything's on fire.
I think over the years, I've just enjoyed Samurai Warriors more? Sengoku Basara?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it's that game, just one step more anime.
That's true, yeah.
Where it's just like, yo, what if you just played like Masamune Date, but he has Wolverine swords?
True. True, true. True. All right. Yeah. That was my one.
Next up for me is Capcom? Is it Capcom?
Capcom Presents.
Is it Capcom Presents? I forget. Does Capcom make this game? Capcom doesn't make this game. Who makes this game?
Sega.
Sega! Sega makes this video game. Yeah. Sega! Wow, it's been so long that I forgot this video game.
I was like, what game is he talking about?
Who makes this video game? With Humble Beginnings.
Okay.
In 1993.
Okay.
Sega has announced a Esports X Virtual Fighter.
Okay.
And that's it. It's not confirmation of a new game. It's confirmation of a Esports project.
Project
involving Virtual Fighter. It is a minute long trailer teaser, yes. And the only things that matters is the last 5 seconds because it is a very high poly Akira with his headband waving in the wind.
Yes.
And then it says Virtual Fighter Cross Esports.
Yes.
And that's it.
Cool. Wicked.
That's the teaser.
I mean, I hope it's a new fighting game, but remains to be seen. Could be a visual novel.
Sega's too busy making bank on their Sonic movies. So.
That's true. Well, switching gears from Sega, I'm going to talk about Square.
Go.
We've got a Western date, release date.
For?
Near Replicant version.
Oh, yes.
1.25461347.82.
Did you just get that right on?
No, I made that up right now.
Okay.
Did it sound
convincing? It sounded legit. Like near replicant version 1.22474487139...
Okay, so I was a little bit off. I was a little off.
Wait, hold on.
My bad.
Oh, no, 139... That's the title. Ellipses is in the title.
Yes. It's coming in April. There's a sweet collector's edition. I never played the original Nier on Xbox 360.
PS3. And PS3. It is It is rough around the edges.
I heard it was rough, but like it still has the same sort of thought-provoking narrative.
Yes. What Nier did in that era of gaming, I would say, is somewhat groundbreaking in terms of meta-narrative.
Yeah, I know what the end game twist is. Yeah, yeah. But like, I don't know anything beyond that, so.
You remember existential dread in Nier Automata?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first one to do it.
So I heard this is more than just like a remaster. They've added a couple of tweaks to the gameplay.
Yeah, they're fixing up some of the jankiness of the gameplay.
Because, you know, that Nier Automata, but like revenue to like, oh, we got money to make this one better now. Yeah. So
there's also the fact that this game is the version that didn't come out in North America. Yes. So in Japan, there were two versions of Nier. There was Nier Replicant and Nier Gestalt.
Yeah, we got Gestalt.
And we got Gestalt with the big burly man.
Yeah.
But Japan got both, but the one they also got is that it's the same game, but the character is this like kind of Bishonen pretty boy. Yeah. He's riding from Metal Gear Solid 2.
He is.
Right.
I forgot about that. It was two games. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't really know what differences there were beyond the main character being a bitch.
I gotta do him like
But yeah, that game story wise is top notch. It's just hard to recommend to people because it is a little jank. It's a B movie game, or it's a B level game with an AAA story.
Yeah, right? Fair enough.
The big one, I guess, for us, and the last one I have is Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week, but they have a whole bunch of new information. They're like a 40-minute gameplay thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Gaijin Hunter broke it down in 10 minutes. So we went to YouTube and was like, hey, guys, Gaijin Hunter here. Hey, guys.
That's exactly what we did.
Gaijin Hunter here.
Hey, guys.
And he broke it down. He showed that the wire bug is pretty much the be-all end-all to travel in that game.
Yeah, so the wire bug is actually a lot less complicated than I thought it was.
Than it looks, too, yeah.
Like, you literally only have two actions.
Mm-hmm.
Up and straight.
Yeah. And then you can combine those with attacks based on your weapons, but the actions are still, like, copy and pasted to every weapon.
Yeah.
It's kind of this... he actually brought it up really well. It's the same as, like, Generations... with the skills, with like when you get the little special moves and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you get two wire bugs. You can use it for traversal. You can get a third one in the map.
Mm-hmm.
There's new hidden areas where large monsters can't get to, but you can find power ups and these like hummingbirds that'll boost your stats.
Yeah.
You could ride your dog.
Mm.
You could pet the dog.
Mm.
You control the dog.
Mm.
So if there's like an area with vines, you can. Mm-hmm. Get your dog to climb up it. You can sharpen your weapon while you're on your dog. What else is there? The wall movement really is like go anywhere.
So he didn't talk about this in the video, but in the full gameplay they show it. That wall run eats your stamina.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
But it eats it like fast.
Oh, okay.
Like,
does it start replenishing when you wire bug or no?
Yes.
Okay.
So you can sort of get a bit more out of it if you use your bugs, but it doesn't replenish fully. But like it's like if it goes as fast as if when you're riding a monster in the old ones.
And you haven't braced or whatever. Okay.
And it just like eats down, like it's like that.
Okay.
So that's just something to note.
They made a lot of rebalances. So Longsword can't do Helmbreaker all the time because it's tied to a wirebug skill. But though they're giving. It seems like the wirebug is just giving a lot more mobility to weapons that don't normally have mobility, like a lance or a greatsword and stuff like that. The UI change is busy. There's a lot of UI. And in Monster Hunter, there always has been, but this seems kind of especially egregious, where it's like, yo, you want the full map in your mini-map? You can go for it. You want the not only your current life, but your max potential life? It's there. If you want every single piece of your sharpness, it's there. And it's just like, it feels like it's one level more of UI busyness. And it's something that really is, it reminds me of like old school game design. Like this reminds me of like a Monster Hunter 4. yeah. in the way that you guys laid out.
I don't know if I found it to be super busy. Like World has the same amount of stuff on screen.
Mm.
The only difference is World is tied to a larger resolution panel.
Yeah, it's got the same amount of stuff, but I was also say that stuff takes up less real estate.
Yeah, because right? it's got more.
Like, they just make it smaller.
Yeah, because they can. Like, yeah. I'd be like with the Switch, I guess, because they have to show it on the mobile device, because that's how generally, I guess, they're expecting most people to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. But I guess even if you blow that up onto the TV due to the Switch's restrictions, it's still going to look super cramped compared to World.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm sure it's something you get used to over time. Because, yeah, they added... I guess I did add one more thing.
Which was?
They have, like, a hotkey menu.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have the shortcut wheel.
Mm-hmm.
They have this A, B, side-to-side scroll item. And then they have the hotkey menu with your Palamute.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I guess they did add a couple more things. It is cramped. We'll see how that plays out. I guess the thing about this game, though, is technically this isn't the Ultimate or G version, right?
No, it's just Rise. So it makes me think that it's just like, here's the high rank, and then you gotta buy the expansion, which will bring 3 dogs or a bear.
Back to the high rank.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of liking the weeb aesthetic.
Yeah,
it's nice to go back to just like, here's the Nihon.
No, it's cool. I think that the whole overlaying yo we Japanese
yo.
Look is cool. I think it's cool. It's
because like I would argue World is very knightly. Let's say
it is, but I'd also argue that World is the most generic of all the Monster Hunter games.
One.
Okay, fine. You got me there.
You got me there. You got me with the one. You got me with the Monster Hunter one.
One is pretty bad. You know, Monster Hunter 1 isn't even a good game.
It's terrible. It's a terrible
yeah.
game.
Yeah. I think they made a big deal of blood being in this game, and I was just like, people care about that shit?
Yeah, they cared about blood.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cool effect, but it's definitely not one of the games where... You remember when Ninja Gaiden 2 got ported from the Xbox 360 to the PS3?
Oh, and there was no blood?
And there was no blood.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a game where I'm like, where's my fucking blood, dog? Yeah.
Like, this looks like it's, like, red lightning when blood comes out. Like, it's not blood. It's just... There's your action. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But man, I don't know. It looks like Monster Hunter. It's there's a lot of the same animations that were in World, like when the dual blades were doing its little like Oni mode slashes, it was like the exact same animations and stuff like that. So I guess that's why they could pump this out so fast.
Yeah. And they showed off a couple different attacks that you could use with the wire bug, like weapon specific. Like, I don't know if you noticed in the trailer, but the dual blades you can attach to the monster.
Attach?
Like, there's a string that attaches you to the monster. Like, it's in there. I don't know what its effect does.
Okay.
But you're always there. The long sword has one where you use both wire bugs and you create a counter shield. And when the monster, like, you'll see it in the trailer if you watch it again. It's like, it does the whole. It does like an instant spider web in front of you.
Cool.
And then if the monster goes through it, that's your new counter attack. And like it does more damage and blah, blah, blah. They had a couple other wirebug specific things that I thought were cool. Like if you have a wirebug ready and you get knocked down, you can launch the wirebug and you have an instant recover.
Oh, sick.
Like in fighting games where you have wake ups.
Yeah. It's like
basically that.
Wake up,
yeah.
Like you tech
you have an instant wake up.
Nice.
So, yeah, I guess that's one of the things where it's like, oh, finally, I'm not gonna get like comboed by a monster.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, I hope there's more interesting or like fun little details like that to get revealed soon. But yeah,
cool nice. Game. One more Monster Hunter, baby. Fatalis is soon.
Yeah,
Fatalis is soon. Is one more Monster Hunter. I think the one thing I forgot though for TGS stuff,
yeah,
is that there's a new Tekken 7 season.
Characters?
So season 4.
Yeah.
So they announced a new female ninja. Her name is Kunimitsu.
Kunimitsu!
Apparently related to Yoshimitsu in some way,
what?
Shape, or form. Because in the trailer, she beats up Yoshimitsu and takes his sword.
Oh!
Yeah, just like... And it's like, my mother told me about you. What a waste of time. And then
Oh, she got the fox mask.
Yeah, she got a fox mask.
Oh, okay.
But I think the more fun thing here is that in this like in this teaser area, they brought out like there's like a picture book of different areas, and they show one. It's like a picture of Akuma Shoryukening somebody, but it's in the new Kunimitsu stage, and so everyone's like, "Oh shit!" Well, like so that's a new character, and in the top right, there is a picture of one of the Tekken characters outside of what seems like a konbini, like a Japanese convenience store.
Mm.
And what it actually is, after Blaine showed me the picture, I looked at it, I'm like, oh, that's the fucking rice bowl place from Yakuza.
Mm. So it's Cosmo.
So I'm thinking we're getting Yakuza characters in Tekken 7.
Because
they already put Negan in.
Yeah, I guess Negan's more of a stretch.
Yeah. Compared to Kazuma Kiryu.
Yeah. Okay.
So, it seems like they're going to put a Yakuza character in, but I don't know which one. I feel like it has to be Kiryu.
I think so.
But, like, there's a lot of other characters in that franchise that have more interesting fighting, I guess.
Yeah, but how are you not going to put in that white suit?
True.
Like, how are you not going to do
the that? Dragon of Dojima? How are you not going to do that? Yeah, it's true. You just want to heat action some dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you put in the girl.
Haruka? Yeah. You just K-pop dance them to death?
Yeah.
I don't think they can have people just, like, beating up on a 13-year-old in Tekken.
Age her up.
Age her up. She's immortal. 10,000 years old.
Throw her in the volcano.
Heihachi threw her into a volcano because he didn't get an autograph. You didn't get to go to the handshake meeting.
Yeah.
But I think that's all I had for TGS. I've been busy with school this week.
I was gonna say for TGS, the biggest news, I think neither of us watched it, was they showed off Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity.
Yeah, who gives a shit? It's a
movie. I do.
Who cares?
I do. I gotta play.
I gotta play.
I need it. That's like next month.
Yeah, Mr. Dynasty Warriors 9. Yeah.
I gotta play it. But yeah.
It's the prequel to...
To Breath of the Wild.
Land Before Time?
Yes. What are those dinosaur names? Littlefoot?
Little Feet? Petrie?
Petrie.
Was the pterodactyl?
Yeah.
I forget the rest of them.
What was the Triceratops? Sarah?
I don't remember.
Okay, whatever.
I don't remember.
Got it.
But yeah.
Cool.
That's it for me. If there's something we missed, yell at us in the emails.
I'm sure there's tons of stuff.
Yeah, it was very bad. I had a bunch of papers and assignments and I just couldn't take the time out to actually do any of it.
The only thing I say is Microsoft put a price cut on the Xbox Series S in Japan already.
Already? Is it even out yet?
No.
They just knew Japanese people wouldn't buy it?
Well, because it didn't make sense, their pricing. Because you know how it's like $299?
Mm-hmm.
And in Japan, they put it at 300 and... Or 30... 32,000 yen?
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we'll just make it 29,000 yen.
Why did they just do that in the first place?
I don't know. And then Microsoft added Japan to Flight Simulator. So.
Oh, yeah. So. You can go near a Tory gate.
You can go into a Gundam.
I guess.
Yeah. So have fun with that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm just not into planes, man.
Neither am I.
Sometimes I see the giant bomb guys play like Flight Simulator, like Vinny and Drew, and I'm just like, fucking nerds.
Yeah, like I think I can appreciate it only because I like car state racing sims, but like the Flight Simulator games are not, like, you're not flying jets. You're flying like
Cessnas, like seaplanes.
That, or you're flying like, oh, let's fly this Airbus. Let's take 150 passengers across the Atlantic. Like, no!
What are you doing?
They made autopilot for a reason.
It's like people who play Trucking Simulator for fun.
Yeah, at one point it's like, I respect the dedication.
Like, people have the setup, they have the IR tracker and the throttle response and everything. Yeah,
but it's like, why?
What are you doing?
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So there you go. That's it for TGS, I think.
Yeah. What did you do in your week?
Stuff. I did stuff.
Go.
I think. So I played that hot new game that came out 2 years ago that almost failed, but then got on Steam, and now everyone's playing it.
What is it?
Among Us.
Oh, I played that too.
Yeah. It's a video game version of, if you ever played like Mafia or Werewolf,
mm-hmm.
that's more or less this game.
You go around. What are you in? Like a spaceship?
Yeah.
Like a space station.
Spaceship or space station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now you're a team.
Or are you?
No, you're a team. We're only getting out of this together.
Yes.
You're a team. Obviously, there's one or two bad guys within your team.
Imposters, if you will.
Yeah, so like there's 10 of you. Randomly, two are assigned to kill you. And the whole point is to complete your tasks and win the space shuttle. Or if you're the imposter, kill everybody before they do it. The actual gameplay and mechanics are just, you know, they're all right.
Yeah.
The whole point is it's the social dynamic of fucking with your friends and ruining friendships and
lying to people.
Yeah. So naturally, it's great.
Yeah, of course. It causes the drama.
Yeah, man. It's fun just being a shit disturber. Yeah,
and it, like, so what is it? It's like how you win is that the crewmates, they have to go around completing their tasks.
Yep.
And once all the tasks are complete, then they win.
Yeah.
Or if they vote out the imposters,
yes,
then they win. The other way is for the imposters to win, where they have to kill enough people to where there's an equal amount of imposters to regular crewmates.
Yes.
And then they win.
And then they win. And it's played mostly over online. And I think...
I think there is a local way to play it, but I don't know anybody who plays it locally.
There is local. The way we did it was half local, half online.
Okay.
Like some people were in a room and then other people just joined.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier before recording. Like, I think it's great. The only problem is like there's one aspect to it where like you really need to make it apparent to new players. And that is, you have to abide by the imaginary rule of the game of like keeping your mouth shut when they ask you to.
When you're playing the game and when you're dead,
yeah,
you cannot talk.
Yeah.
You can only talk during the discussion section where it's like emergency
meeting. And that's only if you're alive.
Yeah, only if you're alive too.
Yeah. And like that works if you're playing online and everyone's only using the chat features because then it's automatic. But if you're playing in the same room, that makes it very challenging to just suddenly stop talking. I haven't played it enough to know if that's like actually going to be a big deal, but I know for myself when I first jumped in, I didn't know that rule. So I was like, oh.
Yeah, with the people I was playing with, we eventually started to get better about it. But it is definitely an issue if you're starting out, because it's like, when you die, you just want to be like, fuck, right? But you're like in the room or you're in the Discord server.
Yeah.
And it's like, you need to shut the fuck up because then everyone knows you died, right? And someone can just call emergency meeting.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah. So like, that's my only thing about it. But otherwise, it's
like if it had Discord functionality where like I could hook up the game to my Discord server and then it'd be like, this person died, who's this username?
And they
kick them to a different channel.
Yeah. That or like, yeah. My bigger issue is just like when you're doing it in person, right? Like you got to make.
I've not played in person.
You got to make that abundantly clear, like, yo, shut up, but
bro, shut up.
Yeah. So, but no, it's Among Us is pretty cool. I see why it's very popular.
I see why it's so popular on Twitch now, because it's just like it's all your favorite streamers in one lobby just fucking yelling at each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like hell yeah, drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely want to play that with you guys. I want to see how the experience differs.
I'm sure we'll do it this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's the game I played. I watched this show on Netflix. I didn't know what I wanted to watch. It was like Enola Holmes came out.
Okay.
And I thought that was a show, but it's a movie. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to commit 2 hours to this.
That what's it called? The fucking guy from Spider-Man. What's his name? Tom Holland. That Tom Holland movie came out.
Yeah, that's also on there. I saw that. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to commit to another 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. I watched 5 hours of a TV show.
No, so I watched 2 episodes of a TV show, not in sequence, but like it's actually a bad show. It's called Sneakerheads.
It sounds bad.
Yeah, it's clearly a show that's made like, oh yo, sneakers are popular. We gotta cash.
We gotta make a show about it.
And let me give you the pitch.
Go.
There's a man.
Okay.
He's been in the game.
Is his head a sneaker?
No, he used to be a top player in the game.
In the game of what?
Of sneaker collecting.
Oh my god.
Of being a hype beast.
He had all the tech wear.
But then.
He got old.
And he left. He got out.
Oh my god.
He got married. He had kids.
He sold his shoes for a stroller.
he became a responsible adult. And he shops at Banana Republic, and he wears Toms, and his wife dresses him. And he's a decent human being. He drives a minivan, you know, he has kids, blah, blah, blah. But one
Shell
day,
of a man.
But one day, they retro Air Jordan 4. I think they're white cements. I don't know. But he says something like, these are the ones that started it all. I got to get a pair of these again.
Yeah.
So he goes back to his local sneaker shop.
And I was like, oh shit, he's here for the drop.
He's here for the drop, but the world has changed. The world, he doesn't realize there's a line.
Bots have bought out all his sneakers. He has,
pretty much. And like, they do all the stereotypes.
They
like,
made a TV show about buying concert tickets. That's so funny.
Yeah, and like, they do all the same shit. Like, the rich Asian guy comes in and he comes in with his G-Wagon. He's wearing Supreme. And he's speaking like Chinglish because he doesn't have like the full-on English down yet.
Changlish or Konglish?
One of them.
Okay.
And then he just drops his dough and is like, these are mine, buddy.
Yeah, I bought 10.
And so then by the time he gets to the front of the line, it's like, sorry, we out.
That bitch.
And then he tries to, he's in line and like a friend from his past, his sneakers shows up. He's like, yo, bro, you back. Let's do it. Let's get these sneakers. And his friend is just, he's the dumb friend who just is full of great ideas, but just actually really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets him into even more hot water. He ends up owing $5,000 through a series of certain events.
What is this?
So they go on the quest for the mythical shoe called the Jordan Zero.
Is this like... Is this the Hangover with shoes?
Not really, but yeah, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
It's not like super good, but it's also just entertaining enough where I'm like, huh, I kind of have to see this through.
It's the right amount of trash.
Yeah, it's only 6 episodes. Every episode's 20 minutes, so it's not a huge investment. But
IMDb rating 5.8.
Yeah.
Average Google rating 4.6.
Yeah, like, it's not good. It's not good, but it's also just like, this is dumb. And sometimes you just need dumb.
I guess.
They do this thing where they go visit Mark Wahlberg.
What? Like, actual Mark Wahlberg? Like, Mark Wahlberg playing Mark Wahlberg?
Well, no, it's a... What you just said is factual and true. Okay. However, it's not the Mark Wahlberg you think.
Okay.
But he's playing the Mark Wahlberg you think.
Okay.
They hired another guy whose name is literally Mark Wahlberg to play Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It makes no sense, but it's ridiculous. So there you go.
I'm watching the trailer right now.
Yeah.
And apparently his friend is that guy from Instagram.
That guy from Instagram.
King Batch.
Oh yeah,
the guy's like that backflip though.
Yeah,
that
guy. Oh, that's why
he was the familiar. Vine guy.
Yeah, that's why he looks so familiar. And yeah, if you're into the sneaker game, like, they definitely have like people from the sneaker world here, like popular collectors and whatnot.
Okay, so they're that guy from GQ or whatever.
You mean Complex?
Whatever, same thing. I don't give a shit.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's fun because it's definitely like. I think anybody who collects anything can relate to this, where it's like, you've been out of the game, and you want to get it. Like, that's the whole reason I'm watching it, and it's fun to see. So that's that. Other things, God High School wrapped
up
for this season, and yo, that final episode is bananas.
I'll get through it eventually.
It is
maybe on reading week. I'll
it
just
is monkey business.
It. Right.
Yeah, so that was that. I caught up on Fire Force. There are some things that happen in Fire Force that are super cool.
I've been reading Fire Force.
Oh, no.
Because I canceled that Crunchyroll subscription.
Oh, no.
So I've been like,
how far did you get?
What just happened? He went crazy in one of, I think, in the fourth division's fireplace.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And
Arthur has to stop him.
And Arthur has to stop him because it's like, they're like, yo, he's delusional as fuck.
Arthur's the best in that one.
And then I just met a gang where there's a girl who can predict fires.
Oh, yeah. She goes like this?
Yeah, she does a little thingamajig. Yeah.
So they kind of revealed some... They dropped some bombs in Fire Force. Like, they revealed some important stuff, which is like, oh, my God. Okay, cool. Awesome. Wicked. But they cut to, like, a side story. I don't know if it's a side story, but they show you, like, the two most powerful characters, and they team up to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is the best two episodes I've ever seen.
Is it just like here? Is it like the My Hero movie where it's just like I gave Deku the All Might or whatever?
Kind of, but it doesn't use any of the main characters we're following.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
It, they just show you here's some characters you want to see.
Yeah. And like and they're like from opposite ends of the world. And they're like, we're going to team up. And we're going to do some stuff.
Cool.
And then you're just like, what the fuck
is happening?
And you're like, this is just baller. What the hell? It's wild. Like, it's so much fun.
Okay.
If
there's something about this guy's work, like, it's kind of the opposite of Taito Kubo, where when he was like, I just want to make powers, and then his powers got dumb.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, when it's just like, I just want to make powers, it's like, yeah, you make cool shit. Because even in Soul Eater, like, the stuff they did was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's Fire Force and God of High School. I think now I'm going to finish up my teen romantic comedy because that should have wrapped now.
Okay.
So I'll watch that. But the big thing I've been playing this week is I bought a new video game. That is Super Robot Wars X.
I'm so proud of you.
X.
Cross.
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 No, this one's X.
I'm so proud of you.
This is X.
You're playing video games.
I imported this from PlayAsia.
The import scene.
I actually ordered this right after we recorded last week.
It came in really fast.
You know, it came in a day.
A day?
A day.
How did it come in a day?
Well, I picked UPS Express because I was like, what's... Because I think regular shipping was 12 and Express was 18. I'm like,
What's the extra money?
Like, so I did it, and then I was like, oh, it's here. So I played it. And it's been a while since I played a Super Robot Wars game, and I was deciding between this one and T. But I picked this one because of the premise, because it's...
You said it was like an isekai?
It is an isekai.
Okay.
Only you're not going to death of the world. Everyone else is coming to you.
Ooh,
so cool. Like, you are the main character in the isekai world.
But then it's just like, hey, the Gurren Lagann guy came.
Yeah, they're like, how the fuck did I get here? What am I doing here?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's wild. It is in English, but all the voice acting is in Japanese.
Okay.
So it's like you'd expect. It's it's just traditional, a lot of reading. Strategy role-playing game, so squares and grids. So if you ever played Fire Emblem, it's like that, only with robots.
Strategy RPG.
Yeah. It's beautiful to look at, because, I mean, god damn, I forgot how, like, modern Super Robot Wars is just awesome. It's very complicated, and I always forget how complicated Super Robot Wars can be. There's, like, so many functions and, like, things to do between battles and whatnot. And even when you're in battles, I forgot that, like, there's a difference between if you're flying or if you're on the ground. I forgot that your robots have attacks, but your pilot also has a set of attacks and skills you can use. But,
oh, shit, your pilot does have skills, yeah.
But not all robots are just piloted by one person.
Yeah.
So you can, like, go to a different pilot. And then if you're really savvy, you could take those pilots out and put them in your favorite mech. And then you can just, like, it, like, the customers...
Can I make Shinji pilot the Gurren?
You could. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's just, there's just so many, like, mechanics and features to it that the game does not tell you about. Like, there is no instructions here.
It seems like one of those games where it's like, if you're playing this game still, you know what it is. If you're buying this game, you know what's happening.
Yeah, like, they don't even tell you that if you put your character beside another character, you get affinity points. Like, you get bonuses on your attacks. Like, they don't even tell you that, like,
it's not in the tutorial or
anything. If you put three side by side and you have a certain equip on one of their skills, they will just follow up attack.
Oh, that's sick.
Like, and you don't, like, or they don't tell you that, like, if you do that and you pair with here and a boss attacks you, you can either take the damage for him.
That seems like it would be useful.
Yeah, like, they don't tell you about the circumstances that you need for map attacks. Like, they don't tell you anything.
Man, listen, all these hardcore gamers complaining about tutorials?
Yeah.
Sounds like Super Robot Wars is the way to go.
Like, the game has a tutorial, but basically it's like, move, attack, these are the win conditions.
You beat the guy, he exploded.
Like, and that is the tutorial mission. You're like, oh, this game seems easy.
Okay.
Like, so if you're coming off of Fire Emblem, because I know Fire Emblem can seem pretty daunting to newcomers, this is a whole other level. Like, this is just...
If you thought Fire Emblem was hard, this is like oh, this is shit.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
Now, the other reason I picked this one is because, apart from being an isekai, because usually Super Robot Wars is like either the politics of space versus Earth, and then they whatever. I picked this one because it's magical, so my robot is a half magical mechanical.
So you're a super robot.
She's basically Harry Potter with a robot.
Oh, so. My god.
So she's awesome.
Awesome.
But I picked this one because, like you should with all Super Robot Wars games, look at the mech list and the ones you want
are in it.
Yeah, if okay. the yeah. Unfortunately, like I had to decide. I can't quite remember. I picked this one because it had Gurren Lagann and Code Geass stuff mm-hmm. and Yamato. Mm-hmm. But T has Gal Gaigar and Gunbuster.
Oh no!
Yeah, so like
Oh no!
So like I couldn't. I was like, ah, oh, I couldn't choose. So like that's why that was the
they tough put part. Those they put those separate on purpose. They
yeah
knew.
Yeah like bitches. they knew.
So the thing is with like the two games, is it kind of like a Pokemon Red and Blue situation where like say I get the other one, I can face against you with like the my version exclusive robots?
No.
No? Okay.
Okay, so like Super Robot Wars, like I know I listed like a bunch of numbers and letters, but yeah. it's not like that.
Okay.
Like T actually came out a year before X.
Oh, okay.
Or somewhere, or the other way around. I can't.
Because the way you were talking about it, it sounded like they came out simultaneously, but they're like, here's different
robots. No, so like every game, I think they have to like renew licenses. Mm-hmm. So it just so happened that they got these licenses for this game and whatnot. And I think, I don't know which one has the Evangelion, but I know there's one of them. But yeah, and then like there's different Gundams. So like, I like the Gundams better in this one because it had Zeta Gundam and Crossbone, mm-hmm. whereas the other one I think had New Gundam, which New Gundam's cool, but he's not for me. So yeah, it's fun. I'm not very far in. I'm like 7 chapters in of 50, so it's gonna be a long time.
50.
Like it's not a, like these are not a short game, and like there's two main characters, mm-hmm. so
well, Simone.
You choose who you want to play.
Okay. You picked the magical girl because you said she's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did that. And then you have multiple routes, tons of secrets, and like a whole bunch of different scenarios. So like you just got to keep going until eventually you beat it.
Nice. It looks, I was watching some gameplay of it. It looks like Super Robot Wars.
Absolutely. It's absolutely Super Robot Wars. It's,
I don't know how they're just like, you could run that shit on Windows 98. I don't know why it's on the PS4. Like,
yeah, so I'm playing it on my Switch, so it's I think that's the ideal way to play.
Okay.
But yeah, that's my week. Like I did some other stuff, like I went hiking and I took pictures of some things and
stuff. Put yeah. it on the gram.
Yeah, and then obviously kept eating food. Like I said, tons of Popeyes. Mm-hmm. Go have that burger if you haven't, my Canadian friends.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I talked about this last week, but I ended up watching Memento.
Oh, right, because you're watching the Bale movies.
Yeah, I was watching the Nolan movies. I had to watch this for school to do like a review of it or whatever.
Yes.
Or like a film breakdown or whatever. But what the hell's going on over there?
Nothing. I just dropped something. Go.
But it's my first time watching Memento. I kind of knew the gist of the spoilers, I guess.
You knew the big like.
So what I knew
about the movie,
what I knew is that someone was like, the movie is told backwards. But what I didn't know is that it's not. It's one portion of the movie is told backwards.
The twist.
The twist is that the end of the movie is the middle of the movie.
Yes.
Right.
Were you thinking like,
I thought the whole movie was just backwards.
Yeah. Cause when people explain it, like they're not wrong. Yeah. It's just.
They're also not right.
Yeah, like it's it, like if you want like the elevator pitch is the movie's backwards, mm-hmm. right? And you're like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
But after that,
it's there's like, actually only one backwards scene in the whole movie.
Yes,
and it's at the very beginning.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, there's a guy. He's trying to find the person who raped and killed his wife.
Yes.
But his problem is that he, after his accident, when his house got ambushed, he can't create any new long-term memories. So he has all of his new short-term memories. So he has all of the stuff he remembers from the accident and before. So he remembers how to walk, eat, all that stuff. But anybody he meets new, he'll forget. And it could be in a couple hours. It could be in a day. But he has to basically write everything down and stuff that is really, really, really important to his quest for justice
yeah.
is tattooed onto his body.
Yes.
Right.
Oh yeah, his tattoos. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like across his chest, backward. It says, "Find the person who killed my wife," or whatever.
Ah.
He has like certain ones where it says "facts," where he's like, if he knows something is a fact for sure, he'll write fact one, blah, 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 fact two, blah, blah, access to drugs,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
This, it's cool because, like, this movie is basically two different movies.
What do you mean?
So the thing I found is that the black and white portions that are told in it forward,
yeah,
are really it's a noir movie, like a noir detective guy's monologuing, talking about like all the stuff he found and all the city and blah blah blah. Like it is a detective noir movie, whereas the stuff that is in color and going backwards, it's more of a whodunit, right? And it's a whodunit based on your initial reactions and sympathies to certain characters.
Okay.
And they switch between, like, the timeline is like, say there's like two parallel lines that meet up at the end, right? And it's usually it's like I start at one, like parallel line one, one, and then I go to parallel line two, one, and then it goes and it like goes back and forth, yeah. Right? I really like the way that that stuff is positioned in the film because it makes you feel like he has his condition. Mm. Not only because it's hard to keep track. Like the story itself, once you like reach the ending, it's fairly simple. If you saw that in chronological order, it's not very confusing. But it's like Nolan kind of made you have short-term memory loss because by showing the back end of the movie and then showing a forward portion and then going backwards again and then it catches up to where you started off in the last scene, it like fucks with your memory in a way to be like, hey, even you with a very good working memory, your memory is not perfect.
No.
And it's something that it's a theme in the movie that they go over and over and over again.
Yeah, they harp on that a lot. Yeah.
A lot. And even things like, I forget her name. There was one girl character where you meet her in her house and she's like, oh, I can't believe like he did this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, who did what? It's like, Dodd beat me because of the stuff you said and whatever. And you're like, holy shit, like he's got to help out this girl and whatever. And then it goes back one more. And it's the scene where they first get into the house. It's like, you're a fucking idiot. Your wife's a whore. You're gonna do all this stuff, and you're gonna forget it. And you realize like she's manipulative and using him.
Right? Yeah.
And it's a constant theme of like trust and memory and stuff like that. And it's like, damn, that's a good ass movie. and it's one of those things where again, it's not like it's a good ass movie because the writing is super clever. And stuff like, again, if you watch that movie chronologically, it's a cool detective movie with a nice little twist on the main character. It's nothing insane. But to manipulate film in such a way where you make the viewer feel like he can't remember anything is like some next level meta shit. And Nolan loves playing with time, right? Like Interstellar. What the new one, Tenet, what was the one before Interstellar?
Inception.
Like Inception was how time slows down, the deeper you go into dreams. Interstellar is like literal time travel through gravitation and stuff like that. But this is like a meta time manipulation where it's just like, yeah, what if we just like didn't show you shit in chronological order and not in like a Quentin Tarantino way.
We just didn't do it.
Like we were just like, fuck it. Here's like 5 minute scenes, but like one is the end of the movie, one is the beginning of the movie, and then the actual end of the movie is the middle of the movie.
Yeah,
it's really cool the way they did that.
Mm.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah,
it's super cool.
Do you like Nolan's films?
I do. I think some of them are a little. He's trying hard. Like it's a little like, oh man, I really want people to see me as this like revolutionary dude, and sometimes you can just be like, Nolan, just kind of relax a little bit. Like we get it, you're introspective, like you're trying all these deep notions and whatever.
You liked Dunkirk, right?
I never watched Dunkirk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I've never seen it. I heard it was good, but
yeah, that was the one I didn't like.
Is that a Nolan movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I gotta probably download that or I mean watch it legally in some that came out 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, those trailers are like in my mind, like as ones? Recent.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. But yeah, I wanna see that. I haven't tried it.
That movie is a definition of I appreciate this film.
Oh, okay.
But I fucking hate it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I had a $100 million budget.
Well, I can see why. They recreated World War.
That's nuts. How much did it make back? Oh, okay. $526 million.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the Nolan films are fun, but this is kind of like unbridled film shit. Like this is like I don't have a studio telling me what to do, right? Like if the thing for Inception was like a more fucked timeline storytelling, yeah, instead of like how linear it was and, yeah, like easy to follow,
yeah,
like there wouldn't be a studio behind that. Like that was definitely you can't do that, man. Like people aren't going to follow it. And if you don't do it, I'm going to take away $50 million from your budget. Right. But yeah. Memento is just like some fucking wide eyed film grad. Who's just like, hell yeah, let's make movies, dog. And it's just got this real like authenticity.
He's going to work.
That
yeah.
other Nolan films don't have.
He's just doing it.
Yeah. It's kind of sad in retrospective. Like, I look at Christopher Nolan films now, and I'm like, yeah, this is a studio-ass movie with a weird, like, with a weird thing in it. But other than that, it's like, Memento is just raw. Memento is just like, it's like Christopher Nolan at his most Christopher Nolan.
What if I told you maybe it's the other way around and that what the
movie it's backwards and I'm misremembering
and no that the movies he's making today are his real vision and Memento was only what he could achieve at the time because he was limited.
I'm still of that whole thing of limitation begets creativity, of just like you have to be super creative when you don't
so you're have you're telling me Memento is better than any one of his more recent films.
I think I like Memento more than Interstellar.
You like it better than Inception?
I haven't watched Inception in a long time, so I probably have to rewatch it.
Because Memento's great. But I don't know if I like it better than Inception.
I don't know if it's better than The Dark Knight.
Yeah, see, that's the problem, right? I don't think it's better than his Batman movies.
I think it's better than the first one.
The first one's his best one.
I think the second one. I'm in the mainstream camp there. I think the second one's his best one, and I'm kind of tied. I don't really think the third one's that great.
No, it's not. Right? He lost the plot.
Yeah, he's just like, what if you were in a cave and paralyzed?
He didn't lose the plot. He lost the main villain.
What if you were in a cave and paralyzed? I feel like Memento's probably better than the first and third Batman movies.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't really realize Dunkirk was his movie.
It's his movie.
I should watch that.
You should.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Good. Welcome to the party.
Yeah. Fantastic. I played some more Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah, I saw that. You got the Zodiac
Spear. I got that Zodiac Spear, baby.
I saw.
I got that 10% chance for the chest to spawn, and I got that 10% chance for me to get it.
Wow.
Got lucky.
You didn't say scum that shit?
No. So I guess technically I did, because the area I was in was so fucking hard that I kept dying. So I would game over and then be at the save point,
yeah,
right? And I'd keep walking back into that same hallway, and then eventually it spawned. So I didn't save scum it on purpose. I just save scummed it because I was bad at the game.
Okay.
But I got the Zodiac Spear, and as soon as I did that, I was like, fuck it, save point. I'm not doing anything else. That thing's busted. That thing has, like, I think maybe in the Zodiac Age, it's not the best weapon, but it's got like 150 attack. It's got disable on hit.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, you just, you hit an enemy, they can't take an action.
That's bullshit.
It's bullshit. I'm hitting for like 12,000 a hit.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that busted.
It's busted. I think the other stuff that's busted in this game is the, like, super, super secret items.
Yeah.
And that stuff is, like, oh, you have a 1% chance for on the airship an invisible chest spawns. Oh. And then inside the invisible chest, you have a 1% chance to
get this bow that's like 270 fuck damage or whatever the fuck it is. But I had got to the, I didn't realize how fucking far I was in that game. I'm at the end section. Like, I was like, go to the Bahamut. Right. And I went in there and I was just way under leveled. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just go grind. But I checked my clock timer. Like, I wasn't even at 30 hours.
Oh, but because you spent a lot of your time grinding, like, that, at four times speed.
Four times speed is such a time saver. Yeah. It's like four times the savings. It's...
So, like, it doesn't run your game clock?
No.
Oh.
So it was crazy because I was just like, wait, I've only been playing this game for like a bit, like a minute. And I look at the game clock and it's like 26 hours.
But, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow. So much time is just spent walking.
Because I remember, like, Final Fantasy used to be, like, the staple of, like, that's a 30 to 40 hour game.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing with Final Fantasy 12 is, like, the original is, like, a 90 hour game.
Yeah, because all those side quests.
All the, like, side quests and walking and the battles take forever. But what if the battles were four times speed?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go grind. I want to see if this this one section of the game is still has my spot, has my grinding spot. So I went, I collected 10 espers. I got to the lower levels of the Hene mines.
Yeah.
And I got to the Abyss Steel area. Mm-hmm. And it's still there, baby. Mm. How it works is you need a healer, a tank, and a black mage. And what you do is... The tank can be interchangeable. It doesn't really matter who it is. That's just the person who's taking the damage.
Yeah.
And how it works is that you're in this one room and you hit a switch. And, like, 25 Abyss Steels that are, like, bats, undead bats, come down from the ceiling. You use Sleep Aga. All of them go to sleep, right? Then you use magic on them. So Fire Aga, or because they're undead, you can use Kuraja, and it hits everybody. And the thing is, magic doesn't wake up sleeping enemies. But it stills apply the damage bonus.
Oh.
Right. Then you just need a tank to survive the initial onslaught of bats.
Yeah.
And then once they're all asleep, then you get like 3,500 XP per bat. Then you put on the EXP doubler accessory. So you're getting like 7,000 a bat. And then you just grind your way to the 90s, baby. because in that game, how it works is that once you've gone two areas away, then the enemies respawn. So in that area, there's two loading zones, like maybe 20 steps away from each other. So you go one, two, back, and then all the bats respawn again. Oh. And you just repeat the process.
I see.
And then you do it at four times speed because of gambits.
Oh, that's how that works.
Yeah. So I got everyone from like level 35 to like 75 in a couple hours. I got like 999 chains, so I had 99 of all the rare drops that thing gives you, so I have like a million gil now.
That sounds cool.
It's awesome. And my white mage is so powerful, she heals more than what Renew would do. Renew is heal all your party members to max.
Oh.
But my Kuraja, because my magic power is so high, it heals above the HP limit.
Gotcha.
So I'm just like, I don't need to use a more expensive spell. Fuck you.
Gotcha.
But now I'm just going through all the hunts. I did a bunch of the side quests. I beat the Hellworm, which is the halfway point to Yasmat. I collected 10 Espers. I'm trying to face the stronger ones, but they're fucked, man. Like, trying to face the Zodiark or Ultima and stuff like that. They're just messed up. Like, how difficult. One of them was like, you just can't use magic. Like, you want to use magic? No. So I had to set up my healer with an items gambit list.
Oh.
So I went out and I bought like 99 of all the items. So if it's like, do you have sleep? Like, are you petrified? Golden needle. Yeah. Like, are you low on potion? Are you low on health? X potions. Right? So she healed that way. I think there's one where it's like, I can't use attacks. I need to use magic.
Hmm.
And then there's just other stuff like Ultima. What she does is that she casts Reflect on your party. And then she heals you.
To heal her.
To heal herself. Yeah. And it's just like, fuck you! It's messed up. But then, like, you can cast magic on yourself to then hit her and do whatever. The way they make you play with jobs in that version of the game is very fun and very rewarding.
Yeah, I feel like I should play that.
It's good. It's a good-ass game.
I should play it.
Did you hate the Sand Sea?
I did.
Yeah, everyone did. But what if you just go through it at 4x speed? Like, it's insane that, like, I gotta thank Bravely Default.
For the quality of life.
Sweet Jesus, Bravely Default developers, you are groundbreaking features in JRPGs. Like, you made them playable for people with responsibilities.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And then the last thing I did was I played a little bit of Donut County. You remember this game?
I do, I think.
Donut County was an indie game where you play as a hole.
Yeah, okay.
And then you drop things.
It's coming back to me.
You drop things in the hole. And then the hole gets bigger.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Got it.
So the story in this game is you are part of, I think it's called Donut County. I think that's the place. But you're in this village, and all of a sudden a hole appears and starts sucking up things in the town, right?
Disgusting.
Dropping rocks, dropping houses, people, whatever. And eventually it fast travels story-wise to like a bunch of weeks later where everyone is underground and they're like, why the fuck are we in this hole? And it turns out you're playing as a raccoon who downloaded an app, and the app is a video game that makes the hole in real life.
That's ridiculous.
And the more stuff you suck up, which he thinks is doing it in the game,
he's
actually doing it in real life, so he can get to like level 19 or whatever.
Yeah.
So as you progress through the story, it's like, congratulations, you got experience. And it's like, oh, I'm working my way to the flash forward.
Yeah.
Right? and it's fucking goofy. The way it's written is hilarious, and it just reminds me of Katamari. It's Katamari with a hole, basically, where Katamari was my dad got drunk and blew up all the planets in the universe, so get me new stars. This is my fucking dumb raccoon friend who runs a donut shop. Whenever people order donuts, he sends a hole after them. there's also like, it's not a difficult game because it's just an experience more so than like a challenge.
Sure.
But they do put in like little kind of puzzly things where like one was I dropped a campfire into the hole and then the hole started expelling heat. But previously to getting the campfire, I got a bunch of corn from like corn stalk from the corn cart or whatever. So then when I got the fire, it popped the corn in the hole and then the corn hit birds in the sky, which then I could put the birds in the hole and do whatever. Or there's another one where you're on a farm with a bunch of rabbits, and if you put two rabbits in the hole, a bunch of hearts start appearing. And then your hole gets bigger. And you're like, I wonder why it got bigger, right?
All these holes,
right? And when you talk about it, it's kind of fucking gross.
It is. I remember seeing the trailer, yeah.
Because you gotta get holes, and you gotta make the hole bigger so you can put bigger things in your hole. But it's just adorable. It's super cute. The writing in it is fantastic. It is very how could I put it? It feels like a bunch of like young early to mid 20s hipsters did the writing. It feels like Juno in a way, or like a Scott Pilgrim, the way it's like very playful with its language and stuff like that. But it's just fun. I just plugged in an Xbox controller and I was just like, let's just try this out. Blah blah blah. And I was like, wow, this is strangely addicting. Just like Katamari. Like I keep wanting to do another level.
Disgusting.
It's fun. Okay. I like it. It goes on sale constantly, so it's recommended. And I think it's on pretty much everything.
Okay.
I was playing it on PC, but I think it's on Switch as well.
Ah.
So you can put things in your hole on the go.
I got in the holes for you.
And then I did one level of Miss Splosion Man.
Miss Splosion?
You remember Splosion Man from Xbox 360 Live Arcade?
Yeah, he just exploded.
Yeah, and they made a Miss Splosion Man where you play it as a girl Splosion Man.
Does she have a different ability?
She's pink and has a bow.
So like Miss Pac-Man?
Like Miss Pac-Man. And this also came out on the 360, but they have Miss Splosion Man on the PC. And I just was scrolling through my Steam library. I was like, I own Miss Splosion Man.
Yeah.
And I was playing it, and I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. I just fucking explode. That's the whole game.
Wow.
And basically, she's like Pepe Le Pew. Right? You know how like in Looney Tunes, Pepe Le Pew is like, oh man, I love this cat. Like, I need the pussy. Like, that's pretty much what Pepe Le Pew is, right? He's always romancing.
Yeah.
Right? And but that's what she's trying to do. She's in love with like everything, every humanoid she approaches.
Oh.
But instead of loving them, she fucking explodes. Yeah. And she's constantly yelling as you're like going across levels and doing whatever, like throwing out random banter. It's like the equivalent of like, remember Gex?
Yeah,
it's kind of like that. You're like throwing out dated references,
and, yeah,
and they're even more dated now that this game is like 8 years old or whatever.
Yeah,
it's I don't know. It's a video. That's the one where it's like it's a video game.
Oh,
like I got nothing negative or positive to say about it. Like,
yeah,
it's a video game.
Yeah,
I was just thinking about trying to get through a bunch of the indie stuff after Final Fantasy just because like they're shorter, so I can just knock out a couple stuff I've been wanting to play. Like one of them, I played a couple years ago when I did the live stream podcasts called Mr. Shifty.
Oh yeah,
and that one's like you play as it's like a top down,
I remember,
brawler, but you gotta like teleport through walls and do whatever. So yeah, but I never finished it. So.
Okay,
I don't know. I was just looking at all the indie games on my Steam list, and I'm like, I want to play a lot of these.
Yeah.
Fury, fucking boss rush mode, Samurai. Yeah. Should probably get through those.
All right.
But yeah, that's been my week. You want me? Yo, man. Let me tell you about collection libraries.
No.
Let me tell you about research papers.
No, thank you. No, thank you. I did, there was one other thing I did this week. I ran over a possum.
Okay. Sure. Is this noteworthy?
Yeah, because, like, I was driving home. It was, like, 2 a.m. I dropped off my girlfriend there, and then I went home.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, empty highway.
Some asshole possum.
Just jumps out. And I'm like, and I hit the brakes.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to hit this. Like, there's just no way. It's either I come to a standstill or I try to dodge.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, like, I'm going to hit it.
Did you feel it?
So I was like, if I hit it slow,
it's gonna suffer.
So I hit the accelerator.
Oh my god. You're just like, explosions, baby.
And then as I hit it, I thought immediately to myself, oh fuck. I wrecked my car.
Oh, because you just sped into it?
Yeah, I was like, that was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm gonna sleep on it.
Mm.
And the next day I woke up and I looked at my car, I'm like, oh shit.
Is it just blood?
So there was blood and stuff. I'm like, oh, the front bumper got ripped off. And I'm like, oh.
You zip tie that shit?
No, so like the fasteners came out and like so I bolted it back in, I put it all together, but on the underside in the front driver wheel well, there's
leftover possum.
No, there's like, it's hard to describe, but like there's a metal casing for where the bumper fastens into. Now the fasteners are all there, but the casing itself is like mangled now. Like on the other side of the car, it's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my best to smooth it out. And so like, you can't see it. Like it looks fine, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's one of those items where it's like, I know it's there.
Is the thing that was mangled, is it like a plastic?
It's like a very thin sheet of metal.
Oh, okay. Because I know like the thing on like bumpers now, because they're all plastic, is like if you get like a dent or something, but it's small, like you immediately want to try and like get heated up. And then pop it back.
Yeah, into so its like, memory, like right? the bumper itself is fine. Like, okay. There's nothing there. It's just the housing that holds it. So you can't even see it, even like in daylight. You have to put your head in there to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so I fixed it. But it's like, it's just now like there's like a tiny little, like it's maybe like an inch and a half of a dent that you can still. I know where it is.
Okay.
And it's bugging the shit out of me. And so I've been looking at body kits.
Oh, baby. Just like,
fuck it.
What's your car again?
It's a
Civic.
No, it's a Corolla. It's like, it's a Corolla hatchback. Like, it's nothing special, but like, I've been looking at body kits. I'm like, yo, what if I just get like a front splitter?
What if you got a wide body kit?
No, I don't need that, because then I have to get spacers for the rims.
What if you got a wide body kit?
No, I just need a something a little bit more sporty. So I've been looking at body kits.
What if you got a diffuser?
No, because it wouldn't work.
On the air? In the back?
It wouldn't work.
Why not?
Because I'm not going. It doesn't do shit.
But what if you went fast?
No.
What about for the time you need to go fast? It'll diffuse.
So, yeah. I don't know. That was just my little adventure.
All right. Rocket Bunny body kits. What's going on?
No. But, yeah. That was my week. And I think that's a podcast.
Ground effects.
No. No. I have to lower the car.
Do it.
I have to lower the car, and then I have to make sure the...
What year is it? 2020?
Sure. 2020, 2019.
It's a hybrid bass?
No, no.
S-E-L-L-E?
X-S-E.
X-S-E? Oh, there it is, baby. All right, let's do it.
There's nothing.
Oh, there's a bunch.
There's nothing.
There's a bunch.
There's nothing.
Yo, the Carbon Creations spoiler.
I don't... So you know I have that spoiler? Mine's just not carbon?
You need the carbon one, so you go fast.
But it doesn't look... But I like the color of mine. Mine matches.
Yours isn't fast, though. Oh. Yeah, fiberglass rear lip spoiler, baby.
That's not for my car. I got a hatchback.
I don't know. I put it in. Apparently, it'll work for your hatchback.
No, it won't. That's for the sedan.
It'll work.
Anyways, that's it. All right, that's a podcast. We'll see you next week.
Next time we talk about it, Vince is gonna be like his car's gonna be riced out. I wonder if you know how we live in Tokyo.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's what I gotta say.
What?
I reached a new record for watching Tokyo Drift this month.
What?
I think I watched it once a week.
Why?
This month.
Why? Like, by yourself?
Yeah. Like, just on the second monitor.
What the hell, man?
Like, I just threw it on and in the background.
What's wrong with you?
I got problems. I don't know.
Like, what the hell? Yo, check yourself.
Carbon fiber slotted hood.
No. No, I don't need the slots. I don't got a huge intake. I don't got a air ram. Like, no, nothing.
Carbon hood scoops.
No.
Roof scoops.
No, those look cool though. But no. No, it'd be totally fake.
All right, fine.
Yes. We'll see you guys next week because it'll be October. Bye.